So, to continue this topic of refuge, refuge is arises in us when we understand that there is a profound support for our lives, that there is a way of being that provides a sense of safety, that provides a sense of purpose, a direction, an orientation for our lives. When we understand that some kind of clear insight that that we have, this is can be the basis or the support for how we live our lives. So refuge is considered to be really valuable in Buddhism. And as I've been saying, that in the early Buddhism and teachings of the Buddha, there are different things that are highlighted as worthy refuge. And certainly what we most commonly know about is the Buddha, Dharma, the Sangha. Yesterday I talked about having oneself as a refuge. And today I talk about action, the activities. The Buddha also said that we have our actions as our refuge. So it's not just a matter of, you know, passively allowing and being present and being the recipient of some deep inner or outer kind of support for us, and then trusting that we don't have to do anything. Dharma practice is an active practice. There is doing. That's part of it. But hopefully what we're doing is learning how to do, how to act in ways that are wise and healthy and nourishing and that are free of strain, obligation, pushing, being busy, and free of kind of conceit or self kind of consciousness. That is self-conscious, kind of self-consciousness is, that's equivalent of being self-preoccupied. And so action is very important in the teachings of the Buddha, so much so that a few different locations the Buddha is referred to in these ancient texts as a teacher of action. And I guess there were people at the time of the Buddha, spiritual teachers at his time, who felt that actions were inconsequential, that no matter what you did, it didn't really have any long-term benefit or effect or repercussions. And some people interpreted that to be that you could just do whatever you wish. It doesn't matter how immoral and ethical it is. It doesn't matter. Other teachers, time of the Buddha, said nothing matters, so you shouldn't do anything. Actually, not doing, just non-doing, radical non-doing is the way forward. The Buddha had a teaching that some actions are worth doing and some are not worth doing. And over again, you see in his teaching, sometimes very emphatically, when people ask them a question like, do you believe in restraint? Do you believe in non-action? Do you believe in this or that? He would answer the question by saying, I teach the doing of what is wholesome and the not doing of what is not wholesome. So in terms of restraint, I teach the teachings of restraint, that it's a wholesome restraint, not the restraint that is an unwholesome restraint. Do you teach non-doing? I teach the non-doing of what is unwholesome, but not the non-doing of what is wholesome. Do you teach, that we should always do X? And he says, no, I teach you should always do X that is wholesome, but you should avoid that which is unwholesome or unskillful. And I like to use the word helpful or unhelpful or healthy and not healthy for this kind of distinction the Buddha makes repeatedly between the wholesome and the unwholesome. And when we do wholesome things in a wholesome way, when we do beautiful things in a beautiful way, when we do ethical things in a way that doesn't harm ourselves or harm others, so that doing an ethical thing is actually a nourishing thing, beneficial, that is how actions can be our refuge. Now, one of the actions that is emphasized in Buddhism is the action of straight, strong, simple mindfulness, something that I consider synonymous with awareness, to be consciously, lucidly aware of our experience. And mindfulness has a quality, almost all ways that mindfulness is taught, that it is an awareness, a knowing, a recognition of what's happening, that is not interfering with what's happening, that is allowing each thing to be seen clearly without us being entangled with it, without being caught in compulsions of desires or aversion for or against it. So that one of the synonyms of mindfulness, or close synonyms or characteristics of mindfulness, is letting things be. Just letting things be. And so some people like to talk about a pause, even a sacred pause of mindfulness, that we don't kind of hurtle into the future, into the next moment, in a speeding along, going from one desire to the other, reaching out, doing, being so busy that the mind becomes claustrophobic or spinning, or you know, it's hard to notice even what we're doing, because we act, we talk, even before we know what we're going to say or do. And it can feel great that way, because it can feel like we're free just to say whatever we want. We're free just to do whatever we want. And so there's kind of no limitations, no frustration. But in Buddhist language, that's not real freedom. And so by pausing from the incessant activities of the mind, the excessive activities that we do, to pause for a moment provisionally so we really see what's happening here and let things be and really have a clear, deep, or full way of recognizing that what I'm thinking, what I'm about to say, what I'm about to do is not really so wise, is not really so healthy, is not really so wholesome or skillful, helpful. Maybe I could not do it. Or we're sensitive enough to feel and know, oh, this is a wholesome thing. This is beneficial. This is nourishing. So the mindfulness practice has a passivity to it, if we're allowed to use that word, of making space and allowing and learning to feel what's moving through us. And then as we live our lives, when we have to act, that then we're informed by a clear understanding of what is wholesome and unwholesome. And the sacred pause of mindfulness, the space that we give to know it here, it gives us the opportunity to choose between those two, the sacred choice. And that Buddhist practice is definitely involves a degree of living a life of choice. Not because we're always busy and always having to analyze and figure out, but because we are deeply in touch and feel and sense and connected to ourselves to recognize what is wholesome and unwholesome, what is helpful and not helpful, healthy and not healthy. And it becomes easier and easier, more natural and easeful to go in the direction of health, to go in the direction of the wholesome, that which is nourishing for us. It's almost like, with time, it's like a ball let loose on a hill will roll downhill. Over time, we will keep moving into what's wholesome, because that's what our heart, or our inner system, that's the directionality, that's the way it's leaning. So it's not like being really busy and making all these choices all the time, but it's placing us in, putting us in the place of where choice can happen. And sometimes we make a conscious choice, and sometimes we can feel the wholesomeness within us is choosing. This is what's good. This is what's helpful. And that becomes our refuge, because when we do what's wholesome, what is kind of synonyms in Buddhism for wholesome is what's beautiful. Another synonym is the Dharma, what is dharmic. And the word Dharma here in this context means that which, if you look in the dictionaries, English Pali dictionaries, the English definition is what is morally good. And what is connected to a good quality, a good way of inner way of being, a goodness to it. And when we choose that, when we go in that direction of the good, of the healthy, of the beautiful, that supports us. That leads us to a inner growth of what's healthy and wholesome. It creates conditions that support the best in us to come forward and to live. It creates conditions for discovering greater and greater freedom and peace and love and compassion. And it tends to support a way in which the world reciprocates. And not that automatically or absolutely it reciprocates, but the world tends to respond to wholesomeness and goodness with the same. The world becomes more and more of a refuge and a place of goodness for us when we enter the world in that way. So the Buddha said our actions are our refuge, that they're so important to pay attention to. And as I said, the Buddha was, in addition to being a teacher of freedom, he was a teacher of action. And for the Buddha, those two are closely connected, that the actions which are wholesome and nourishing are also the ones that lead us to the freedom that he was talking about, that support it. So we have actions as our refuge as well. So one of the deep principles of Buddhism, early Buddhism, is be a caretaker of your actions. Be a carer, a lover of your actions, in the sense that if you really love something, you want to do it the best possible way. And you might consider for these next 24 hours, how is it that action, how do you know, how do you recognize how actions, your behavior, what you do, can be a refuge for you, a support for you, a protection for you, a guide for you, a place of insight and deep understanding. You have actions as your refuge. Thank you.